Hebrews 11. I'd like to ask you something to really consider in prayer. A lot of times we just pray, but never pray specifically. As Miss Sherry talked about Miss Emily this morning, what a blessing she's been. I want you to pray that the Lord would show her what practice to be employed at. And it's very important. And I know that she would appreciate that. She's certainly been a blessing to this church also. Hebrews 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Remember verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Now verse 7, what I'd like to preach out of this morning. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, look, he moved with fear. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became of the righteousness which is by faith. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You for the goodness and the grace of God. Thank You for the songs that have been sung. We thank You for the people, God, that have served You, that keep on keeping on. And in this day and this hour, how we need more people to have faith like Noah. Help us now to be true to the Scriptures. Touch all of our prayer requests, our sick in our church. Help us, God, to be a blessing to the people this morning. In Christ's name I pray and I ask You, amen. And amen. Three things in this verse I'll be done this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, there's a picture of faith. There is the person of faith. Then lastly, there is the prosperity of faith. Now notice verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. A lot of people trying to please God, but He lets us know right off the gate, without faith we cannot please God. When God sees our faith, is He pleased with what we're doing with our faith? Now let's notice out of verse 7, this picture of faith. We all know this Bible character, Noah. We see him, we think of the ark and the flood and the rainbow. And by the way, the rainbow was not given to the LGBT community, but God gave it to the earth as a promise that He would no longer destroy it by the flood. That is a symbol of promise. I'm glad our God still keeps His promises. When we get to heaven, there'll be a rainbow round about the throne, and you and I will see that God keeps all His promises. I'm glad He's a promise-keeping God. I'm glad He don't take His promises back. God is a great God of great promise. And so we think of this story, but in this small text, there's a lot said about Noah. I want you to notice, this is not a play of words. It's simply how the Spirit of God wrote it down. Watch the picture of faith. You'll notice by faith Noah, first of all, there's the importance of faith. By faith he accomplished these things. We're yet to realize, we're yet to see what faith will accomplish. All through Hebrews 11, you find out there is a focus of faith. It's also about the Bible characters, but without faith, they would never been mentioned. So watch this importance of faith. By faith. Look in verse 5, by faith Enoch. Verse 4, by faith Abel. Then you'll notice with Abraham, verse 8, by faith. So there's the importance of faith. I'm glad I've got faith. The Bible said that He's given every man a measure of faith. And it's your responsibility and my responsibility to put our heart with that faith and turn toward Christ and to believe in Jesus as our Savior. But here these, they went a little further in faith. Now we notice the importance of it by faith, but look, the impact of it. By faith, Noah. Let's think about something right there. Who was Noah? Well, he was the great-grandson of Enoch. He had heard a lot of preaching. He had seen God move and do a lot of things, but yet Noah, he was a man. He was a man robed in flesh. Much like you and I, he had difficulties. He had failures. He was not perfect. And by the way, there's nobody perfect in this building this morning. We all need the grace of God. But we see this picture of faith, the importance of it, and the impact of it. This faith got a hold of Noah. Has faith ever got a hold of you and let you do things that you ordinarily would not do? We see this importance of faith, this impact of faith. But then look at the impulse of faith. The Bible said that because of this faith, he was warned and he moved with fear. He prepared an ark for the saving of his house by which he condemned the world. Now the picture of faith. We see its importance, its impact, but now its impulse. He moved with fear. Some of the writers will tell you that when fear and faith are combined, it will take you to the cross. We know that He's not given us a spirit of fear, but here He's talking about reverence and respect. It's still right to reverence God today. It's still right to reverence God's house and God's things. And so here we see this impulse of faith that it springboarded Noah into doing something. The picture of faith. Faith is so important. Even though these Bible characters many are mentioned in Hebrews 11, they all have one main thing about them, by faith. By faith, by faith, by faith. See, without faith, we can do nothing. Without faith, we cannot please God. We must take Him at His word, and He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. I want to say, it does pay to serve God this morning. And so we see this character, Noah, and this picture of faith. But then let's turn and hold your place there, but let's go to Genesis chapter number 6. Let's look at this person of faith. Not on this picture of faith, but let's look into this person of faith. Genesis chapter number 6. Verse 1, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them. He said, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. Verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man, beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I've made them. But Noah found grace
in the eyes of the Lord. I won't say that again, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Through a time of great wickedness and trouble, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It gives me hope in this hour that there are still people that can find grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we see this man Noah and his person. We see, first of all, there was a looking. He found grace not in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of the Lord. And you always remember, when we can't find grace in anybody else, the Lord has grace in His eyes. I'm glad He's a God of grace and mercy and long-suffering. The person of faith, there's the looking. But then look in verse 9, there's a lifting. Something happened after grace come a hold of Noah. Not only is there a looking, but now it's a lifting. Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. Now notice that grace came before just. This word justification, it's a legal term that is done in heaven. And so Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God declared him as a just man. Let me ask you, how are we justified? How can we that were born sinners, we were condemned, we were going to face the wrath of God through judgment, how could we be justified, that legal term applied to us? How did He become just? We know by grace, but let's look what we are to do. Hold your place. I'm going to read Romans 5, verse number 18. I love this phrase in Romans 5 and 18. I want you to listen to it. Underline it in your Bible. For it says, therefore, as by the offense of one, talking about Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Only through Christ can we be justified this morning. Only through Christ can that legal term be applied to us, that we're justified, we've been cleared, we're no longer guilty because of the blood of Jesus. Oh, we were guilty, but He's washed away all of our sins. And we stand justified, just in the eyes of the Lord, the person of faith. We see this looking, this lifting. He became a just man. And by the way, when you get saved by the grace of God, your life will change. I hear a lot of people saying, well, I'm saved, but I live like the devil. You better look in your Bible and be sure you got saved. You better be sure the Spirit of God lives in you. And you better be sure when you sin that you're not happy about it. Because grace will leave you different of how it found you. So here there was a looking, there was a lifting, but then look, there was a lasting. The Bible said, and He only said it one other time in the Bible. Look what it says. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And here's the phrase, and Noah walked with God. I preached the other morning out of Hebrews 11 on Enoch. He walked with God. Here, Noah, the great-grandson of Enoch, no doubt he had heard about some responsibilities in his life that he had. I'm sure that he had heard about the God of this Bible and how his great-grandfather Enoch walked with him and God took him and they could not find him. And through this process, we find that he's walking with God. It is lasting, the person of faith. I'm thankful there's been a time when I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was a looking. I'm thankful that He changed my life. I'm not a perfect man, but I'm perfect through Christ. I'm still a sinner saved by grace, but I've been justified. A legal term, God has declared me not guilty for one reason. Not because I'm a pastor or a preacher.
Not because I pay my tithes, not because I'm faithful to church. One reason, because of His Son, hung on a rugged cross, died and shed His blood for me, and my heart turned by faith. And through that process, God has declared me justified. Now lastly, let's watch the Bible, the picture of faith. Boy, the importance of it, the impact of it, the impulse of it, the person of it. But lastly, the prosperity of faith. What did He do? What did Noah do when God asked him to do something? I want you to think about these text verses. And a lot of our youth, they went out to Kentucky and they seen the ark. I've got a picture in there of it on my desk. And the youth is there. It's quite something to see, they say. I've only seen pictures. Let's look at this prosperity of faith. What started with Noah? We've heard about him all of our life. What does the Bible say about him? Let's look in Genesis 6 and 13 now. Noah is a saved man. He's walking with the Lord. And we pick it up in verse number 13 on the prosperity of faith. Now I want you to listen to this word. Look at the demand of faith. Faith always demands something. And you know what? Faith is never convenient. Faith is never quite easy. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to do this by faith, but you'll never find a time when faith is convenient. There's people today out of the church house. You know why? Because they found faith not be convenient. Faith don't fit into our schedule. We have to fit faith into our schedule. It must be the center and the focal point of our lives and our homes. Faith is never convenient. It's never convenient to trust God with your money when your bills are short. It's never easy to trust God when your children leave home and are driving out. It's never easy to trust God in life. Faith is not convenient, but faith is obtainable. And faith is still right. And it's the only way that we can please God. Now look at the demands of faith. He told him something in verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. There's the demands of faith. God demanded Noah. He gave him instructions. Look, God said unto Noah, God gave him a word. And you know something? When God gives you a word, you can take it to the bank. You might not be able to see the end of the journey, but you can be sure of this, that God is up to something. You remember when a storm came up that night, and the Bible said that the Lord came to them walking upon the sea, and Peter said something. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to you on the water. And you know what the Lord said? He said, come. You know, when I was a young preacher, I used to throw rocks at all them folks that didn't get out of the boat and walk on the water with Peter. But you know something? The Lord didn't say nothing to them folks. He only said something to Peter. And so when God asks you something by demand, and you know it's God, then trust Him. Take Him at His word. Yes, he began to sink. You remember that? He got his eyes off of the Lord and he began to sink. But I like this in my Bible. Brother Jerry, the Bible said, and the Lord reached and caught him and set him up in the ship. And you know what he told Peter when he walked on the water? He said, O thou of little faith. Little faith let him walk on water. I wonder what big faith would let us do this morning. If little faith, any of y'all walked on water this week? Oh, some of you think you have. But has anybody tried that lately? Oh my, Noah received the demand and he took him at his word. Now, I want you to realize something, that it's not raining yet. He's fixing to ask him to do something that seems so crazy. The Bible says, "Bill, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark. Thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." The demand of faith. Then verse 15, notice not only the demand, but there's a design. God had the blueprints to it. Noah didn't get to pick out the blueprints. Wouldn't it be great if we was walking by faith and we got to choose how we was going to do it? Well, wouldn't that be something? But that's not the way faith works. You have to do it according to what God says do. Because not only is it His demand, it's His design. He designed this ark. Noah didn't. Look what he said in verse 15. "This is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits." That's about 450 long. This ark was about a football and a half field long. He said it shall, the breadth of it, 50 cubits. It's about 75 foot wide. But my God's thinking last night, I think this first span of ceiling here is roughly around 50 foot. You go out, so let's look maybe at that wall to where this band stops. That's about how wide this ark was. It was a football and a half field long, and it was 45 foot tall. So I think this ceiling down here is about 25 roughly, another 20 foot tall. It was quite of a design. And it was God's choosing. It was God's thinking. The prosperity of faith, His demand, His design. Now, He told him how to build it. He said, "You follow this process." And then, not only the demand, the design, but now, look at this in chapter 6, 22. There's a decision. We've all got a decision to make with faith. For the Bible simply said, verse 22, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Could you imagine? Noah's walking with God and he says, "Noah, I'm fixing to destroy this whole earth. I'm going to let the rains descend, the waters come, and I'm going to destroy everything and everybody that's not in this ark." And so Noah takes him by faith. He believes God by faith, his decision. I want to ask you something. Have you ever made a decision in your life to live by faith? I heard a man one time say, he said, "Well, a person don't have to make a decision to be saved." Well, my Bible teaches me that you must make a decision out of your heart for Christ. In your own way, you must decide. You must make up your mind out of your heart. The Bible says that we are to repent of our sins and turn to Christ by faith. Decision. Have you ever made a decision to be saved? The Lord said to Noah, and Noah did according to all that God commanded him. It was God's design. You know, you look at this word, design, and you think about the fashion of it, verse 15. "This is the fashion which thou shalt make of it." The fashion of it. I was reading last night in my Bible, and I got to think about this in Philippians 2, in verse number 8, about the fashion of it. God's design, it's amazing. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Here's our word. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." God's design. I've often wondered about God's design for men to be saved. There's only one way to heaven. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. God designed that He would put His Son on a cross and die for your sin and my sin. And it's up to us to decide if we will trust Him with that and give Him our life and our hearts. Have you ever been saved? Have you ever made a decision for Christ? Has there ever been a time that you felt like God was talking to you? God was dealing with you? I've heard people in the last few months, they've made remarks. You know, I hear things in passing and people tell me, they say, well, you know, so-and-so come to church and they say, well, you know, that preacher was talking about me. I'm not talking about you. God's speaking to you through that Word, through the Spirit of God. It's not the preacher bothering you. And so, have you ever made a decision for Christ? Do you think you're going to go to heaven without a decision to live for Christ? Do you think that you're really good enough that when you die, God's just going to let you come right on in and He put His Son on the cross and died for you? You must believe in Christ. You must make a decision in your life and trust Him. The prosperity of it, the demand, the design, the decision. But look in chapter 7, verse 1, this will help us, the destination of it. So, verse 22, Noah did according to all God commanded him. And the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house and the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Notice he did not say, go into the ark, for that would be a command, but he simply said, come. Boy, aren't you glad that God was on the inside? If God would have been on the outside, He had said, go. But He was on the inside, He said, come in here. Come in here and you can get rest. Aren't you glad we got a God that don't say go, but He says come. And so He came. And in this ark, there's only been three in the Bible that God has used greatly. You remember here the Ark of Noah, the Ark of Moses and the bulrushes, and then that great ark where it was overlaid with gold. Within it was the tables of the law, the golden pot of manna, and the rod of Aaron's that budded. The Ark of the Covenant. Moses' ark and the bulrush, and here Noah's ark, they all provided safety. I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ is our ark of safety today. And He said for him to come. Then He looked in on him in chapter 8, verse 1. I looked it up last night. I looked at a lot of details. From the time that Noah went in the ark till he come out was around 364 days. Can you imagine a whole year closed up in this ark? He's closed up and God looked into him. Chapter 8, verse 1, God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. And the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. At the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated and the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day upon Mount Ararat. The waters decreased continually to the 10th month and the 10th month. First day of the month came to pass, verse 6, at the end of 40 days, that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. We know he sent out a raven and a dove. Then in verse 16, look what he says. Go forth out of the ark. There he didn't say come out, but he said go out. God was still on the inside. And I'm thankful this morning that in Christ there is safety. Now, a lot of people don't agree with what I'm fixing to read, but it's in my Bible. And I want you to notice this about this decision, this destination. It took him someplace, but Now there's a discovery. God said He's going to destroy the world with a flood. But now He says He would no longer do that. But in the end, after the rapture of the church, there's going to come a time of great tribulation. There's the millennial reign. God is going to burn this world to a crisp. People don't believe that. I hear a lot of people say, well, boy, I sure do like that. A lot of times I say, well, it's going to burn up one day. Let me tell you why we say that, then I'm done preaching. Look with us over to 2 Peter. Turn with us over to 2 Peter. Chapter number 3. 2 Peter 3. I'm about done. 2 Peter 3. Oh, how we need faith like Noah. Peter's writing and he says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Now I want to ask you something, saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Could you imagine the heckling that Noah received? Could you imagine when him and his family, a lot of writers last night said that no doubt there's a lot of men probably pitched in to help him build that. We don't know that, but we do know that Noah was over it. God was in charge. And he was, could you imagine the people come by and say, what are you doing? He says, I'm serving God. I'm doing what He told me to do. Don't you think that looks strange to a lot of people? Has God ever asked you to do something that looked real strange to other people? People pass by here with their boats and motorcycles through the day. They look and say, man, them people, they're crazy going to church. Look what they're missing today. No, look what y'all all missing today. The heckling. And then notice this. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and under the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved. Look, by the same word, they're kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and all the works of men shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Miss Sherry, if you'd come this morning, I want you to just maybe play something. I'd like to say this last comment about this.